Now, there is a story here that has to do with Alison Dubois and, of course, the very well-known Deepak Chopra. Tell us this.
Yes. That was truly a remarkable experience. Deepak Chopra had written the foreword to my previous book with Bill Simon, which was called The Afterlife Experiment. And Deepak is very open to the idea of survival of consciousness after death. And then what happened was his father died after our book was published. But Deepak had never had a reading with a really gifted research medium. So he called me secretly and said, "Gary, could you arrange for a reading?" And I said, "Yes, I could." I said, "But I recommended to Deepak that since he was interested in research, that what we should do is design it as an experiment. And not only that, instead of having one medium, he should have at least three mediums so he could experience how different mediums work."
Right. Either they're all right or partially, or they're all wrong.
Exactly. So what I did was I selected three different mediums who were in different parts of the country. There was Laurie Campbell on the West Coast. Allison who was in Phoenix, and then Mary Occhino, who's a phenomenally gifted medium, who's on Long Island. And what I told each of these three people was that there was an important reading that was going to take place, and that I could not, of course, tell them any information, and that, moreover, what I wanted them to attempt to do is to contact Susie Smith. Each of these people had previously read for the late Susie Smith, but has read since Susie had died and gotten accurate information, and that they were to contact Susie, and that Susie would bring, you ready for this? The deceased Susie would bring the secret sitters, deceased the loved ones, to them. We call this the double deceased paradigm.
She'd round them up and bring them with her.
She'd round them up and bring them with her. In scientific jargon, Susie functions as a departed hypothesized co-investigator. Okay? So, what they would then do is they would then conduct a reading in the privacy of their own home and write the information down before they actually spoke with me. Okay? So they'd get information before the reading began. Then what I did was I flew to La Costa, the resort where Deepak's new center had just moved to. And we, of course, we had the ID of the phone blocked, so when I called them, they had no idea where I was. And what I did was I called each of them and asked them to first read into the, for the record, what they had received prior to the reading began. I then asked them for the next 20 minutes to receive whatever information they could about the deceased loved ones of the sitter. Again, they don't know who the sitter is, male or female, right, young or old, or whatever, where this person is. And then once that official part of the experiment was over, okay, then and only then would they be allowed to speak with the secret sitter, at which point the formal experiment was officially over. And this way they could then discover that it indeed was Deepak Chopra, and they could speak. And then so Deepak could have a real personal experience. So we ran this experiment with the three separate mediums, and we then had the information transcribed, that is the part before they knew that it was Deepak. And then Deepak scored this particularly for his father, and I scored the information as if it was my father, okay? So I served as a control. And the question is, to what extent did these people get accurate information about Deepak's father, and to what extent did this information not simultaneously apply to my father? That was basically this experiment. And much to my, you know, continued amazement, I'm always amazed, by the way, by the fact that this works. When Deepak scored the information and I scored the information, approximately 80% of it was accurate, highly accurate, and fit his father, and only about 25% of it fit my father. And it was very interesting about how some of these, you know, these details were. For example, one of the mediums said that the father was a very successful and famous person, and that he was also quite handsome. Well, that really did fit Deepak's father. He had been a famous physician, treated politicians and so on in India, and he was a very handsome man. My father was not a famous person, did not know famous people, And if you took a picture, if you took one of my photo of my father versus a photo of Deepak's father, and you say which man was handsome, you wouldn't have picked my father. Also, they got information about details such as, for example, seeing the pictures of the family at a beach in Long Island in the Hamptons. Well, there were no pictures of my family at the beach in the Hamptons. My family, if they went to the beach, went to Jones Beach or went to Fire Island. But it turned out that Deepak's family did have pictures of his father.
Why do you think, Gary, that his was so accurate, 80%, and yours was not,
because
hovering
they,
around the 20%?
Because Susie's task was to bring his father to the mediums, not mine. If Susie was bringing my father to the mediums, then it should have reversed. The information should have been 80% accurate
right.
for my father and 25% accurate for his.
So it wasn't as if your father was going to pop up, too.
Well, sometimes my family does drop in uninvited to a
typical relatives.
Typical relatives, especially my mother, because my mother was bigger than life in this life, and apparently she shows up bigger than life in the next. Which, by the way, is one of the ways of proving that the information is not dead information, but as if you would, the deceased have a mind of their own, and they act that way, just like you and I do. So. But there were also other kinds of details that were just extraordinary. My favorite piece of information in that one experiment was when Mary Occhino said that she saw this uncle of the deceased, and that this uncle was showing that he had some sort of a problem with his throat, like throat cancer, and that his vocal cords had been removed before he died.
Oh, my.
Okay, now, you know, I've witnessed hundreds of research readings, and there have been a few occasions where mediums have said that a person had throat cancer, but up to that point, no medium had ever said that the deceased was showing them that his vocal cords had been removed.
Right, not that specific.
Not that specific, and not with such a unique event. It turns out that Deepak did have a very favored uncle, that this uncle was deceased, that he did have throat cancer, and his vocal cords had been removed before he died. Now, that's a dazzle shot.
Now, so Deepak walked away from this believing, I assume.
Yes, well, I would say certainly that he came away believing that these mediums were real and they could get very accurate information. But like you, he was still puzzling about, well, how do you know that they're really talking to my deceased father?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only later in the book, The Truth About Medium, do we start going into the kinds of experiments and information to lead us to the conclusion that this really is consistent with the idea that it's a living, conscious, intentional being that one is speaking with.